If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew. Matthew 24 this morning is where we're going to be in the reading of God's Word. Matthew 24. I hope everybody's got a Bible this morning. If you don't, there should be one in the pew in front of you. We've got them all over the church. You got a Bible in your hand, hold it up. Now just look around. Ain't that wonderful? That's wonderful stuff right there. That's the kind of field that the devil can't run through right there. All them sharp swords sticking up. Ain't that good? We ought to hold them out more often, amen. That'll keep him run off. He don't like to be around where the Word's at. I love the Word of God and what it means to me in my life. If you would, let's stand this morning. I want to read you a couple of verses, a thought that the Lord gave me about this message. Here in Matthew 24, breaking in at the 35th verse. The 35th verse. The Bible says here, heaven and earth shall pass away. What's the next thing say? Oh, I got to read that again. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word. You're getting it now. My word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but who knows? The Father only. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us today about your word. God, we need it in our hearts. We need it in our lives. We need to be absorbed by it. God, we need direction in our life and help, Lord, and only we can get that through your word. We appreciate, Lord, that you've left us an instruction book to follow. Lord, open the hearts of your people today that we may hear from heaven. For we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter Christ is teaching to his disciples about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times, also assuring them that his word will last forever. Ain't you glad his word lasts forever? Flip over to John chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to give you this right fresh off the press this morning. John chapter 1, verse 1. John wrote this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can you comprehend that this morning? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There ain't much change, have they? They're still not comprehending what God is wanting to do today. But I want to preach a message this morning entitled, The Word. I want to preach about the Word this morning. Are there anything else to preach about this morning? We need to preach about the Word. I've been inspired this week, some things I've heard and saw and where this world is heading. These preachers, I'm telling you, preachers that are in here this morning, we need to preach the book. We need to preach the Word. In this day and hour that we live in, we're going to have to tell people what the book says. We don't need to preach a candy-coated gospel. We don't need to preach a feel-good message. We don't need to try to preach something that makes somebody think something of us. But we need to preach what thus saith the Word of God, whether it offends mommy or daddy, brothers and sisters, aunt and uncles. We need to preach the Word, amen, that God will be glorified in everything that we say and do. I'll tell you one thing, Brother Terry. You and I are going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give account for every single word that we have preached out of this blessed old book. We will stand there and give an account because He's put us over charge of people and to give them what thus saith the Word of God. He's going to hold us accountable to preach the full gospel, the full truth of God. And He told me to come to you this morning and preach you the Word and tell you what the Word says unto you. We're going to have to know some things in our life as Christians. If we're going to prosper in this life, if we're going to go forward in this life, we've got to know some things. It's just like when you go out and buy a new car. I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again this morning. Our parking lot is sitting full of cars, and all them cars don't belong to me. There's one or two out there that belongs to me, but if I went out there and got in that white car right now, I'd have to look it over. I'd have to play with the buttons and see where the headlights are at and see where the radio is at, how it goes in gear and does all these things. I've got to learn what it does if I'm going to drive that car. Did you know living for God's the same way? How can you know how to live for God if you're not in the Word? How are you going to know where the church is headed if you're not in the Word? I've told some of the brothers here, some of the sisters, when you bring on a new pastor, we've been over here just a little over a year now, and for the first year, everybody's scared to death. They didn't know where the pastor was heading. I tell you what, that's a wild man. I don't know about him. I don't know what he's doing next. About the time you least expect it, I may jump up in the pew and preach the Word. Amen. That's the kind of man that I am. I'm going to get your attention one way after all. I'll tell you why I do it. I want you to look at Him. Don't look at me, but look at Him. Amen. He's the one. But we got to learn some things about this blessed old book. It's an instruction book. And we need direction in our life. Number one, we need direction in our life. If we're going to know what God wants to do in our life, if we want to understand what it is, we need direction in our lives. Psalms 119, 105, the Bible says, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's a lamp. It shines the way. When I need to go somewhere, all I got to do is get in the book and find out where He wants me to go, and He'll show me the way. There's direction in God's Word. How in the world are you going to know what to do if you don't get some direction in your life? Proverbs 8:33, the Bible says, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." Our problem today is a lot of people refuse it. They don't want it. And I tell you something, I don't do enough of them. I'm going to do more of it this year. I'm telling you what, you better tighten your belt up. I'm going to preach more on hell than I've ever preached in my life. Because I tell you what, there's a real little burning hell where people are at right this very moment. While you breathe clean air into your body, while you sit in a good heated building, while it's cold outside in your comfortable pew, there's people burning in hell right now because they've rejected the instruction of the Word. And I tell you one thing, they'd trade places with you right now if they could. Your mind cannot fathom how bad hell really is. I ain't saying Hades, it's hell. How bad hell really is, it's bad. And we need instruction and direction in the Word of God to know, to teach our families, to teach our children not to go to this awful place, but to get born again, get their sins under the blood, so that when the devil comes tempting them, they'll know how to overcome. Can I get a witness this morning? We need direction in our life. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall" what? "Direct thy path." That's direction. It's right here. You can find direction in your life if you'll seek Him. If you'll study the Word and show yourself approved, it'll show you what you need to do. It's a light unto your feet. It's direction to you. But He told us over in Matthew 6:33, He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that's going on in your life, all these things that you need done, all these hopes and all these dreams," He said, "if you'll seek Him first, these things will be added unto you." It pleases Him to give His children good gifts. Now, the Marshall family love to give their children good gifts. No doubt they give them good gifts for Christmas. And they had a ball and they had a good time and they enjoyed that. And as a mother and a father, that's what they love to do. Do you know your Heavenly Father's the same way? I preached on the gift last week. He's got gifts for you and I if you'll seek Him first in your life. But it'll take following the book. It'll take instructions. It'll take direction to get you there. Well, I'll tell you, I read the Bible and I just can't understand the Bible. And I've heard people say it's a mystery and it seems like God got things hidden. I can't understand. Well, you need to quit going on somebody else's religion and getting the book for yourself. Amen. Come on, brothers, I need you this morning. We got to get in the book, amen. Our children need to get in the book. When I first come here, we had children's church every single Sunday. Children's church, children's church. I'm not against children's church. I think you can have children's church, and we do have it occasionally. But I like having the children in here. They need to hear the Word of God preached, amen. They need to hear people testify. They need to hear people shout. See them raise their hands. See God move in this church house so it influenced their life. Amen. I ain't got a thing against children's church. I don't want you to think I do. We'll have children's church when we need it every now and again. We'll do that, and it'll be wonderful. But there's a time and a place for everything. I want to give them direction in their life. Not saying that children's church, they're not giving them directions. Thank God for our ladies and men that teach our children. They love our children. They teach your children the Word of God. Jennifer and Luke that sits right back there. And John and Kim, they are our youth leaders. They will teach your children about this book that I'm talking about this morning. They will teach them the Word, amen, and show them the way. But how can they do that? They got to be in it themselves. I don't let them off the hook. I get on them as well. We all need to be in the book. I talk to my deacons. I say, "Deacons, we got to be in the book." My preachers are the same way. Got to be in the book. God is holding us accountable for what we're doing. Now, you might not have been here since last Sunday, but there's a lot went on in this church since last Sunday. There's been a lot of in-the-book stuff go on in this church from then to now. Why? Because we're getting ready. We want to help people. There's people in need. There's people that's got wants, and the people have desires to move forward in the church. But most of all, there's people here dying and going to a devil's hell. And I want to preach the book. I want to preach the Word to them, amen, that they may know what thus saith the Word of God. I'm glad that there's direction in the Word of God. Amen. Number two, there's answers in the Word of God. There's no way I'm going to get to preach all this message. It's as big as three mountains. But we need answers. Don't you need answers? As a child of God, I want to know what God wants for my life. And I want to try to help you understand what He wants for your life. 2 Timothy 2:15, this is a straight to you and I. He said to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother Todd, I can't take your religion. You can't take mine. I can't take your word for it. You can't take mine, but we can take this word for it. Amen. I'll never lead you the wrong way with the help of the Lord, and I keep my right mind. I'll preach you the truth. But you need to go home this evening, get in the book, and find out if I told you the truth or not. Amen. Don't take a preacher's word. You need to get in the book yourself and find out if he's preaching you the truth. And that way you'll know where you stand. It'll speak to you. Something other people don't like to do is mark in their Bible. I love to mark all over my Bible. This ain't nothing but ink and paper. That's all this is. It's what's within these pages that'll give you life. Amen? And I can go through my Bible and I can look at them pages, and every page there's a mark of something. And it brings back a memory of time I've spent with the Lord. And it'll prick my heart, and it may give me inspiration for another message. Maybe it's something when I get up in the morning, you know, and I've wiped the sleep out of my eyes and I stagger to the kitchen table or something, and I sit down and I get my cereal out, and everything's laid out just right. And I don't go into that cereal and start. I stop and I open up my Bible and I want to pray and I want to talk to the Lord and I want to ask God to speak to me. And I'll say something like this. I say, Lord, would you bless this food that I'm about to receive, that it be nourishment to my body. But God, as I read your word, I need nourishment to my soul. Lord, speak to my soul and let me understand what you want in my life. And I'll tell you what, when I leave the breakfast table of the morning, I'm charged up for the world. The devil don't like it. He usually jumps on me before I get out the door. Am I the only one? I don't know about you, but he tries to move in every day, closer and closer and closer, but I don't want it. I'm going to preach the word to him. I'm going to tell him what I think. He's constantly telling me what he thinks, so I'm going to tell him what I think. There's some answers that we need in the word of God. In Ephesians 3:4, the Bible says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. Let me tell you that again. Ephesians 3:4. Listen to this. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ. We can understand these mysteries that we think we don't understand. But there's a time and a place in the Word of God when God will revelate your mind, or He will reveal to you what it's all about. Don't get all tore up when you really don't understand what you're reading. Just read it and let it absorb and go on. Somewhere down the way, a preacher will preach it. Somebody will sing a song. Somebody will give a testimony. Somebody will say something to you, and God will bring back to your remembrance that very thing that you were pondering on. And answer that question. I've been saved 38 years and I'm still learning like a little bitty child. I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. There's no knowledge, there's no good in me. It's only Him. He's the one that gives it. He gives the understanding and He gives the answers. There's answers in the Word of God. If you'll seek after it, there's answers in it. Number three. There's promises. There's promises in this book. Really? Promises for you and you and you and you and you, all of us. There's promises in this blessed old book. 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You mean we do that? You better believe we do it every day. We lust after things of this life. Maybe you farmers, you're lusting after a new tractor. You may say, oh, if I could get that new tractor. Especially when you go out and it's 3 degrees outside and they just put a new tractor out with a cab on it that's got heat in it. You're thinking, yes, I need that tractor. She don't understand how cold it is riding a tractor trying to feed a cow. But I need that heated tractor. And somebody was blessed in this church because I saw it sitting in the parking lot the other day. I'm not going to pick anybody out. They got them a heated tractor. I thought, man. That's nice right there. But we all got things like that we want, and we desire them. But do we desire them so much that it pulls our insight away from God? I'm the first one guilty of that. Is anybody here, don't raise your hand, because I'll raise both of mine, ever bought a vehicle and didn't pray about it? That will get you in serious trouble. I went out and bought a 30-some, almost $40,000 truck one time. And boy, when I pulled out in that thing, I could hear that diesel roaring. Yes, I was happy. I thought, man, it's great. I'm going to get to do so much more with this truck. It's going to do me so well. And I was working full-time at that time, construction, and I thought, man, I need this to pull all of my trailers, and, you know, it's going to be great. And I puffed my chest out, and I thought, this is going to be awesome. Till 28 days later, and the transmission went out of it. And I didn't get no warranty with it. It was a used pickup. And I thought, well, it won't be too bad, and probably $1,000, $1,300. And I went down to get the transmission put in, and he said, $5,000. That cost me. And I paid, and I paid, and I paid, and the truck wasn't as exciting anymore. It didn't appeal to me no more. And one day when I was struggling real hard, God whispered in my ear and said, you never even prayed about it. And I had to repent over that. Are you listening to me this morning? I had to repent for not seeking God first on whether I needed the truck first. It wasn't that he cared. He wanted me to have anything I wanted to have, but he wanted me to seek him first. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have things. He wants you to do whatever the desire of your heart is if you'll seek him first. How we do that? We get in the Word. We found out what it is. Now it's getting quiet now. I must have gotten you tulips. We've all done it, ain't we? We've all been there. Those are hard lessons to learn. But boy, did I grow from that. I don't hardly buy a bubble gum wrapper now. I ain't praying about it. You know, I want to seek God with everything. Everything we do, when we eat, and everywhere we go, we're praying. And I met a man this week out when we were eating at a restaurant. And I looked over, and he was praying with his family. You know, a lot of times you feel like you're the only one. Have you ever felt that way? Me and Brother Greg's talked about this. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one at times trying to live right. But here we are, we've already in the middle of our meal and we're eating, and I look over, and here's this man praying with his family. Man, it pricked my heart that he's praying in the public before everybody. He ain't ashamed. The Lord didn't let me off. He said, you tell that man how much I appreciate that. I thought, I don't even know that man. As soon as my family and I got up, and they were walking away, they didn't even know it, I stopped and I walked over to him. I said, sir, you don't even know me and I don't know you, but I just wanted to thank you for praying with your family in public. That really blessed my heart. And it just brought the whole family to a halt. And they all thanked me for telling them that. And you know what? Maybe next time you're out eating and you see that happen, I hope the Lord will get on you and make you do that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I want to be blessed in my life, I got to get out of my comfort zone, church. I got to quit being backwards. I got to say, Lord, I'll go up to a strange person at a table and tell them how much you appreciate them praying. Lord, I'll be the one everybody looks at and makes a difference. Lord, I'll do it for you because you've told me to. Lord, I'll do it. And God will bless you by seeking him first. Those directions that's we need and these answers that we need, this is how we get them. It's taking that hard step of faith and saying, yes, Lord, I'll be the one to make the difference. You could be the next one that'll make the difference in this church, out in a restaurant, out in a marketplace, on the job. Maybe somebody you work with needs to come to church. They need to be under the Word. You could be the only church they'll ever go to. Can you take that step of faith and ask God to help you and show you what you need to do? 1 Kings 8:56, talking about Israel here. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord that giveth rest unto his people. Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by his hand of Moses his servant. What does that mean? All the promises that God promised Israel, he blessed through Moses. Moses had to take that step of faith and lead over 2,000 some people and more to the promised land and tell the people that were screaming at him, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We could have died there. But yet you brought us out here in the wilderness to die in this awful place." They were complaining on every hand. He's trying to say, "If you'll please follow me and listen, I've got a vision that God has given me. He's told me what I need to do. If you'll just listen." But they fought him all the way. They fought him all the way. I'm telling you, Vickers, this morning, if you'll listen to me, God has given me a vision for this church. He's got a way and things he's going to do, but you're going to have to trust me. I can't tell you everything that God tells me. He says, just tell them to trust me, and I'll lead them the right way. I need people to hold the arms up. When Moses was there, and they were, God parted the Red Sea, he held up his arms, and the sea parted. And, you know, he got tired and they held his arms up. And there's times as a pastor you get tired and you wonder, are people really listening to the instructions that God has given? Are they really listening to the answers that God has given? Are they really wanting the promises that God has for them? But you know what it does for me? It don't deter me one bit. If you don't want the Word, you don't want God, you don't want His blessings, you don't want the answers, you don't want to know anything, guess what? I'm going to go on right on without you. I'm glad that the Word brought me here. The Word will keep me here. And when He calls one day, the Word will take me there, amen? We're going to stand on His Word no matter what the devil does. And I need a few good people to stand with me and fight the devil, and let's work together and win people for the lost. Let's win your children. Let's win your families. Let's win your mommies and daddies and brothers and sisters. Let's work together and win people for God. Can I hear from you this morning? That's what we need to do. So we've got to preach the Word. I'm about halfway into this message. There's no way I can preach it all. God's given me so much in it. I want to give you everything I got. You'll just have to come back for part two whenever God gives it to me and tells me to preach it on. But I'm going to tell you one other thing this morning. You may be here and you may have doubted your salvation. You may feel like you're worthy of nothing, that you just ought to quit. You ought to stay the house. God is done with you. You ain't getting nothing out of it. This is it. I'm over with. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's security in God. You believe that this morning? There's security in Him. I told you a few weeks ago, He don't save you, this being you. He don't save you like this, and when you make a mistake, just wad you up like this and then throw you away. That ain't the God that I serve. He loves you unconditionally. And all these things I've mentioned this morning, He wants for your life. But I want you to turn over to John chapter 10. I wasn't going to have you turn. I want you to turn your Bibles there right now. You may want to mark this in your Bible, John chapter 10. If you don't get nothing out of this message, I want you to remember this morning about the security of the Lord. I'm talking 38 years of seeking God in my life. And several years ago, God really revealed this Scripture to me. And I've stood on it, and I've preached it. I've lost friends because of it. I've had family members mad at me over it. And you know what I thought of all of it? I could care less, because I'm going to stand on the Word. I don't care who don't like it. If God has showed it to me, God has given it to me, you ought to stand on it, amen, this morning. Stand on the Word and trust the Word of God. He will bless you. John chapter 10, verse 27. Verse 27, he said, "My sheep," he's talking about you. If you're wondering right there, he's talking about you. "Hear my voice, and I know them." And they what? They follow me. I'm glad I can follow somebody I know. Praise the Lord. Verse 28. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man. Now I want you to listen. Here's the lie of the devil. He's going to tell you that he can get you away from God. But that's contrary to the Word of God. Can I get a witness this morning? That's the biggest lie the devil's ever told, that he can snatch you out of the hand of God. Listen to what the Word says. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father which give them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Ain't you glad of that? Now the devil can come and he can slap you around and make life hard on you. And he make things really miserable. He can attack you physically. He can attack you mentally, financially, spiritually, the whole nine yards. The devil can attack, but he cannot do nothing with you. Why? Because you're covered by the blood. You're a royal priesthood. You're like a city set on a hill. You are His possession. He loves you, and He is protecting you. Well, Brother Gary, answer me this. Why does bad things happen to good people? Well, I'll cross my arms and say, why not? Why not you? It would hurt somebody else as bad as it hurts you. But all things are done for the glory of God. It's to bring Him glory. They may be a doctor in the hospital that needs to hear the Word of God and needs to see a witness of the Lord in somebody's life, and they ain't nobody been there to tell him or show him how it is to walk with God. And God may say, well, I'm going to send you down there to the hospital, have a little bit of this or that done so that you can be a witness of this doctor. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could let your sickness be a witness to that doctor? Or maybe to a nurse or somebody else in your life? God knows what He's doing. You just got to trust Him. And how are you going to trust Him? Through the Word. Through the Word. Your answers that you're seeking, listen to me, sinner friend, is right here. Right now, when you look at this book, when you're lost, it don't make a bit of sense. Oh, you try to read it, and you try to understand it, but it's like this. You really can't see what God is trying to tell you, because it's hid to them that are lost. But once you get saved, it becomes crystal clear. Can I get a witness? What do I do? You just need to surrender. You just need to surrender to God. Someday soon, church, and I hope I get to preach this message for too long about the rapture. He's going to call, ready or not, we're moving out of here. And wouldn't it be awful in the next 5 minutes if He was to call and 98% of these people that's in this church were gone just like that, and you were sitting here, and there's my Bible. Maybe my Bible is laying here on the floor, open from where I've just been preaching to you. I'm gone, and you're left behind. What then? What's going to happen then? I'm telling you, you better trust the Lord now while the breath and the blood and everything's running through your veins and through your body right now, because there's going to come a time when the mercy door will be shut as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.